Our text for this morning's meditation is from our epistle reading. We heard a few moments ago these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. This text is to be taken literally, this text from 1 Thessalonians. This text is to be taken literally, then we would need to believe and therefore teach that a Christian is never to sleep, never to go to sleep, never to slumber. And if that were true, that a Christian is never to sleep, never to go to sleep, never to slumber, well, then there just would not be that many Christians in the world. For who could live without sleeping? Could live without sleeping. And certainly, it's not a sin to sleep, for even Jesus himself fell asleep. But of course, the Apostle Paul is speaking figuratively here when he writes, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Yes, Paul is speaking figuratively, like when Jesus said that he is the light of the world, or the door, or even the good shepherd. For Jesus was not literally a light, or a door, or a shepherd. But Jesus was like those things. You see, figurative language is often easier to understand than normal speech. We know what it means, for example, when we say, he was as strong as an ox, or she ate like a bird, or he was quiet as a mouse. So what then does Paul mean? What then does the Holy Spirit teach when he says that we should not sleep? Well, what he means is that spiritually we should remain continually aware throughout our entire lives that we are children of the day. That is, children who walk in the light of Christ. Children who walk in the light of Christ. Staying awake in this passage, therefore, means that we are to remain in faith. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ throughout our lives. Always to be ready, always to be set for Christ's return on the last day to judge the living and the dead. And what is sleep? What is sleep in this passage? It's not too difficult to fall asleep, is it? I mean, I've never had any trouble falling asleep. I can sleep just about anywhere, as my wife will attest. When I was a child, I went camping with my uncle on an island in the Mississippi River with a bunch of fathers and sons. See, my uncle, he didn't have a son, so he borrowed me from my parents to be his son for a weekend. We had some spares in our family. Well, that night, sleeping in a pup tent, I woke up in 2 inches of water, a storm raging all around me, and crawling out of my tent, the rain kept coming, the wind kept blowing, lightning was flashing, thunder crashing, and I could see that a bunch of the dads were struggling with the tarp that had been set up over the picnic table, standing there holding on to the poles in the wind, and their flashlights shining here and there, and they were getting soaked. And I took that in, and I concluded that it was no better outside of my tent than it had been inside of it. So I crawled back into the tent, found a narrow dry spot running the length of my sleeping bag, and I went back to sleep. Falling asleep has never been a problem. And falling asleep spiritually, it's not much of a problem either. What's that? What's falling asleep spiritually? Well, it's when we fall out of faith. When we fall out of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Well, let's say we miss a week of church and nothing really bad happens to us during that week, and so we take a second week off. And then a third, and then a fourth. And before you know it, we've not been in church for an entire year. Or how about when we tried to read through the book of Numbers in the Bible and we just couldn't make it through and other readings started to take more precedence and, let's face it, media became so interesting, before we knew it, we stopped reading our Bibles. prayer. Well, we keep falling asleep before we get to our prayers, and we forget in the morning when we wake up, and, well, how are we supposed to pray at meals, at school, or on the job? Hey, and I just remember that family getting together, and families getting together this weekend, and I'm getting together with my buddies the next, and then there's a thing like 3 weekends from now. Really isn't time for church on Sunday. You see, it's very easy to fall asleep, to fall spiritually asleep, to become a child not of the day but of the night, a creature not of the light but of the darkness, the end result. We remain permanently in darkness. And I do mean permanently, for when Christ returns, Christ the bridegroom, and those who remain spiritually awake, their hearts full of faith, go out to meet him on the last day and are welcomed into the kingdom of God, that is, into heaven. Those who have fallen asleep, they'll be shut out. They'll remain outside. They'll be without any light and live in permanent darkness. That's a scary thought. It's a scary thought, and it should be. For we do need the light. We need the light, which is Christ. We always need the light, which is Christ. We always need to live in the light, which is Christ, every single day of our lives. Yes, we are living in the end times. Yes, we are surrounded by the darkness, which is the world, and its sin, and its ignorance, and its obliviousness to its own condition. Yes, without Christ, even now, we are in darkness. We are spiritually dozing, nodding off now and then, not knowing what to think, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to say, and living in fear of every single piece of news. Every ring of the phone, every little noise that tells us that we have a text message. Who knows what it's about? In other words, even though we can physically see, we can be living in spiritual darkness. Events of life being those things over which we stumble and we fall and we hurt ourselves, as sure as if life itself were a big dark room in which we lived and through which we walked every single day, bumping into this, knocking into that, stumbling and falling. Of course, in this world, we encounter actual physical darkness, and what do we do then? What do? We turn on a light. We take out a flashlight, or we use that cool light app on our phones, and then we can see. We can identify what is in front of us, and we can see what the danger is that lies ahead. Well, the light which is Christ, in which we live in faith, the light which is Christ, does that very same thing. The light of Christ, we can indeed see what is ahead of us and what lays in our way, and then we know how we are to think of such things, and we do not need to live in fear. That's what it means to stay awake. That's what it means to stay awake. It means to remain in the light of Christ. It's in that light that we realize that we're forgiven for everything that we've ever done wrong, every last thing. It's in that light that we can live with a clear conscience, knowing that God is not angry with us, He's not out to get us or punish us eternally. It's in that light, the light of Christ, that we can love. We can love someone beside ourselves. Love someone who doesn't even love us. It should be no surprise then that not just in 1 Thessalonians that we read about staying awake in these end times, staying spiritually awake, but in Romans. We also read something similar with the emphasis of what it is we should actually be doing while we are awake in these end times. Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come, we read in Romans 13. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Now there in Romans, what Paul is doing is encouraging the Christians to live the Christian life, to live always as if all that we did as Christians, all that we did and said and thought was open in the daylight for everyone to see. You see, the life of the Christian, our life, living in the light of Christ, awake spiritually and not asleep, is a life lived as if we live constantly in actual daylight and not in actual darkness. That's why later on in our reading from 1 Thessalonians, Paul would note as well that we should live soberly, having a breastplate, that is, having the body armor not only of faith but of love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Yes, 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 I know. It's a lot to take in, the figurative language of light and darkness, of sleeping and being awake. But the point is simple. If we don't remain in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't live in that faith serving our neighbor daily in love, if we don't exist in that faith hoping ultimately for an eternal life in Christ, we will gradually over time be lulled to sleep, spiritual sleep, by the devil, the world, and our flesh. Therefore, now listen up. We need to remain spiritually active. We need to remain spiritually active. Just as we're to remain active physically. And I pointed that out last week in Bible study. What did I point out? Well, when we exercise and we do so regularly, we get into shape, and usually we feel so much better about ourselves and the world and our life. But when we stop exercising, what happens? What happens? We don't stay where we are as far as our physical shape is concerned. No, as soon as we stop exercising, we begin to get weaker and weaker and weaker. The same is true when it comes to the Christian faith. When we stop living in faith, when we stop serving in love, when we stop existing in hope, we do not remain where we are spiritually. No, as soon as we stop living in Christ, a spiritual sleepiness begins to creep in upon us. Spiritual darkness. The night of these end times. That is why we remain spiritually active. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we have family devotions. That's why we pray. That's why we attend church. That's why we make the conscientious choice to try to live as a Christian every single day. Yes, yes, I know. This decision is being driven by the Holy Spirit within us, urging on the new man created within us at our baptisms. But nonetheless, in our hearts and minds, the thought need always be to live within the light of Christ, remaining at all times spiritually awake. And being spiritually awake, living in the light of Christ, so that we can truly see the world around us in these end times for what it most definitely is. And that is a world of darkness, a world of spiritual sleep. Now, it's interesting. It is interesting that the world has picked up on this idea of being awake, that is, of truly knowing what's going on. The term used nowadays with the younger crowd is woke. You've heard of that. Woke, as be woke, stay woke, live woke. What does the term describe? A person who is aware of all the injustice in the world, who can see it and understand it and do something about it. That's what it means. That's what the world uses the term woke to describe. Well, the keep awake of our text from 1 Thessalonians, the keep awake of our text is much more all-encompassing than the woke of today. And it covers not only the ability to identify the sin all around us, but to acknowledge and confess and through faith live in the one and only Savior from sin, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only in Christ do we live in light. Only in Christ are we able to live completely and totally awake, and thus always be ready for His return. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.